I'm Melissa.
And I'm Lizzie.
And we're sisters through the Savior. Welcome back to our channel.
Yeah, episode 5. Yeah. We're just going to be talking about worldly versus godly relationships, kind of talking about our past.
Yeah, and our past relationships and how they've affected us and how we've grown and changed from them.
Yeah, and how now we're both in, I guess you would call, like, pretty godly relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, how was your week?
It was good. What did I do? I don't even remember. What did I do? I do have a job interview tomorrow, so I'm pretty excited, but I'm also nervous. So I'm excited to see where God's taking me. Mm-hmm. How was your week?
My week was really good. Me and my boyfriend went to the Panthers game last night. We thought this was gonna be them winning the series, and we were so excited. And we had a great day. I had a really fun time. We were shopping. We lost. We scored 0 goals.
Wait, so what does that mean if you guys lost? So like, now what?
Basically, you need to win 4 games to win a series, apparently, in hockey playoffs. This is kind of new to me. But so we've won 3 so far, and like, we were about to sweep the other team, the Carolina Hurricanes. No disrespect, but they haven't won a playoff game in this series that we're in. I think it's Eastern Conference Final. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they hadn't won in so long, and they just got their first win in that final series before the Stanley Cup because of our interesting playing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were sloppy, and we had a lot of players injured, so.
Ooh.
But, yeah, other than that, my week was really fun. I started classes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How was school? Is it stressful?
It's okay, but I'm taking, like, a small summer course.
Okay.
So, it's, like, 1 month. So, imagine, like, your whole semester packed into a month. Yeah. And I had to come over and use Alyssa's laptop the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And tonight. Thank you. Literally ended up napping and getting Sonic more than I did work. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah, we did. We went to Sonic the other night. And we were originally going to get,
floats.
Yeah, she convinced me on this, like, soda ice cream float, whatever, because they had like really good they had really good flavors, and like we get there and I'm like, okay, so what is this?
She tells me she doesn't know what a float is. I'm about to hit order. She's like, wait, what's a float?
Because I was mixed between like a crisp nice Dr. Pepper,
mm-hmm,
or like ice cream mixed with Dr. Pepper. I didn't know. Yeah, and it's okay.
And she got a nice Dr. Pepper, and I got a flat melted Coke float. So
it worked out. Yeah. In my favor.
Yeah. And we got fried pickles?
Yeah, fried pickles. It was actually pretty good.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So today, guys, we're going to be talking about worldly relationships versus godly relationships, because before we even came to faith, obviously we were in a few different relationships that definitely, I think, altered our lives and, like, affected us, and we learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
And looking back now with the relationships that we're in now, it's completely different, and the way we go about conflict or any arguments in the relationship, and especially boundaries, I feel like have changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to highlight this verse in 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 6, verse 14, where it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God." And it's Paul talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He is expressing, like, when you are in your faith and you are jumping into a relationship with someone, the foundation of that relationship has to be Christ-centered. So if you're coming together with an unbeliever or someone who has a different faith and belief than you, it's kind of going to contradict and be very, you can't be in harmony in the long mm-hmm. run, because if you're going to build a family with this person and marry them, how are you going to, you know, raise your children? What, yeah. how is that going to go about it? And also, when you guys are dealing with conflict, you're not going to go about it in the same way and the same, like, love. It's going to be very hard to go about that.
Yeah, and very contradictory in the ways you do it. Mm-hmm. I always say, how can two people walk together when they can't agree on the direction?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of what Paul's saying, because back then, whenever I hear unequally yoked, it's a habit, but I always think of eggs and like egg yolks, because I love a good yeah. egg. And I always have to remind myself like what he's actually saying. And mm-hmm. for anyone who I guess doesn't know, because it's less of a common practice now, the idea yeah. of being equally yoked would be, let's say you have two oxen, however you say it, mm-hmm. and they would have those wooden or whatever structures that would put them together, and if one ox was moving quicker than the other ox, it would mess up the whole thing and you could never move forward in harmony. Or like if the other one was moving slower, it would also drag the other one back. So it was kind of like a give and take, but it wasn't sustainable. You could never get to where you needed to get. You needed to get a strong animal to be put with another strong animal.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's played out in all of our lives. I've had people where I've been really deep in my faith and they've been unbelievers. And I know specifically I was really, really deep in my faith around September of last year, and I got back together, I say that in quotes because we didn't start dating again, but with a man who was, what do you call it, was it agnostic? Why am I blanking?
Atheist?
No, he wasn't an atheist.
Oh yeah, it was agnostic.
Right, because he believed yeah. in a higher power but didn't subscribe to a religion.
Okay, yeah.
And would kind of give me this impression of, oh, well, I want to wear a cross. I want to go buy a cross. Or, oh, I'm open to going to church. And all these things. And I just remember, like, it was hard for me to stay really deep in my faith and be as excited as I was in the yeah. beginning once I had this person that I was trying to tie myself to. And I found myself doing things I wouldn't have done if I was with a believer.
Right. It kind of is like also holding you back from growing as well, because you're kind of trying to steer this person in the right direction.
Yes.
And like, what does light have in common with darkness?
Yeah.
And so usually a person who's not as far in their faith than you is kind of going to bring you down in a way.
Mm-hmm. And even if the person themselves isn't trying to do it, sometimes people just have these spirits attached to them. And I'm telling you, you can do all in your power, but if you are tying yourself and binding yourself to this person, there is such a high chance that it's going to affect you. Mm-hmm. Even at a young age, when I was in a different relationship with someone who was an unbeliever, all of his stuff, like, came on to me. 2 years later, I found myself not even believing like I used to at all, and I looked in the mirror and I almost looked like him. Wow. Like, yeah. So it's a dangerous thing. You have to be very vigilant when you are tying yourself to someone you're unequally yoked with, especially in a relationship, because that's probably the closest person in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Do you have any stories of dating unbelievers that maybe brought you backwards?
Let me think. I know that, well, in my past relationships, I wasn't necessarily as far in my faith as I was, so I didn't really understand the levels to it, but, you know, I always did believe in Jesus, though, but I was in a relationship once, and was I, like, a sophomore, maybe?
Junior?
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he wasn't a Christian. He had a different, you know, religion. And so it was kind of very controversial because we didn't necessarily agree on the same things, and he kind of wanted me to convert, and I didn't really understand the deepness of that, but I mean, I was never going to convert, but I didn't like just understand it. And so the way we would go about certain things, and he was also very controlling, and I didn't like that, so that also pushed me away. And I think just we had our own issues, and so it was very, I didn't see it lasting at all, and it kind of opened up my eyes to what I didn't want in someone, and the way we would go about conflict. It just, some of the things that my past relationships, what they've said to me, I was like, okay, like, my man would never talk to me like this. Mm-hmm. And so just the foundation of my relationship, what I wanted, it wasn't there. And I knew that. Yeah. And the way that God calls the man to love the woman is really high standard. And same vice versa.
But that one especially, because he's supposed to love you the way Christ
loves the church. Exactly. Yeah. And the man is supposed to lead you into faith and not into sin, and so you really have to choose wisely with who you're trusting to lead you and guide you, and then also guide your children.
Yeah, because you know what's crazy? I've had relationships that aren't God-centered, but the man is still leading, because the devil will take God's design of a man leading but pervert it, so he's leading you in the bad direction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which comes with everything, I feel like. Oh my gosh, just the way, like, masculinity has been twisted and perverted and changed.
Mm.
And it's just sad. It is hard to find a good man. And you could also put it the other way, to find a good woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just important to just not necessarily know what you want, but know what you need and what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's times in my life where I've wanted crazy things, and thank you, Jesus, that I never got them.
Yeah, like, God will know what you want. You could be asking for something, but he won't give it to you for good reason. And like, a no from God may make you sad in the present, but later on you'll understand why, and you'll be so glad he didn't give you what you wanted originally.
Yeah.
And that can go for heartbreak or whatever, you know, you're sad over this person, but think about it, you know, like, if God is removing them from your life, it could be for multiple reasons, but God would never lead you in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if you're hurting now over a person, think about it. Were they like a very godly person? But also think about yourself and ask yourself, our pastor just said this the other day, would you want to marry yourself? Look at yourself and think about it. And it's like a genuine question. And me, like, a few months ago, I was like, I would not want to have married myself, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, obviously, I'm still working on myself, and that's all we can do, but kind of self-reflecting and be the person you would want to marry, so that you are going to be ready for when God provides you with your person.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of what happened with me in my waiting period for the man I'm with now, because I had to say no and finally have self-control to a lot of these issues, and then kind of look at myself before I was rewarded with that, because if he had given me him any sooner, I don't think it would have worked out.
Yeah, that also is true. God's timing is so perfect. And
yeah,
that also, I wanted to bring up, when you're having sex with this person as well, and like, say you guys don't work out, even though you can justify it and say, oh well, you know, I am gonna marry this person, so it's okay, but then you guys don't work out, and then the sadness that you're gonna feel for this person is gonna be heightened and elevated.
Yeah.
And then when you go into a next relationship, you can bring those past traumas with you.
Yes, I remember when I was going through this really heavy season of like repentance and like, what did I do in my past? And like you said, being introspective, like, what am I doing?
Mm.
the guilt that I felt and the way I was able to look at all my relationships when it started, so who put that onto me, I carried that into the next person I dated and the next person, and even unknowingly into the next person. And I had to literally sever that through the power of God, obviously, but I also had to take that step. Like, he, for some reason, didn't want to do it for me. I had to be like a mirror in front of my face of, I'm carrying, I thought it was like a Jezebel type of spirit, because I could see how these people, not that they were necessarily, I don't want to say innocent before they met me, but they weren't doing some of the things I was doing with them and all that. And then after, because I have a habit of going back to people, so the second time around, when I'd see how different they were post being with me and, you know, taking a part in all these acts, it was just crazy. Like, I saw the effect of my own lack of self-control and repentance and getting stuff out of me before I brought it to people.
Yeah, and God, like, really opens your eyes with that.
Yeah, I remember, like, begging for forgiveness. Because I just knew, for the first time I knew. I used to go through life being like, well, this person did this to me and this person did this to me, but what did I do to them? You know, it's always, it takes two to tango, okay? Yeah,
very true. Yeah.
Do you ever look back and see patterns where you, like...
Definitely. I have noticed that I would always... Something would always make me reflect on the past and just keep, like, going back into the same kind of cycle. And I think that also goes with, like, generational things. And we'll end up getting into that in a later episode. But... having to realize it, I think, is the first step, and just asking God for help, and he will help you, and being able to self-reflect and realize it so that you can start changing it, but with God's help, because he'll meet you where you are, and he will bring you up out of that.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is what's really helped me, when he helped me be self-aware, and... I would ask him, you know, like, give me the patience, give me the awareness, and, like, also being in his word, it helps you realize it and be in communication with him to understand the deeper levels to it.
And see it clear. Because I remember literally a year ago, kind of, when I was in New York and you were here, and we'd always make jokes about how we would turn into a pillar of salt.
Oh, yes.
Because I feel like we both have patterns.
Yeah, that's such a good story. Lot's wife, when the angel told them, you know, to leave the city and don't look back. And Lot's wife turned around and looked back, probably out of curiosity
or even regret.
Regret,
reminiscence.
Anything, yeah. And when she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. And I feel like that has so many messages to it that when you do look back, and it, that's the effect that it's gonna have on you when God brings you out of something and you are looking back constantly, it's gonna keep you there. You're not gonna be able to move forward
because it's disobedient too. That's like a big thing.
And that's what the devil will try to do. He will try to keep you reminiscing on your past and the bad things that have happened and how you felt, and he will try to keep you there, but God's calling you out of that.
Yeah.
And he's telling you, look, I'm doing a new thing, so keep your eye on me, is what he's saying. Do you have any worldly relationships that you want to talk about, how it looked like for you and maybe how you got out of that?
I guess I could kind of touch on what we talked about last episode on, like, the power of the tongue, and how I brought up how I was in a relationship with someone for 2 years that, lied to me for 2 years, and was just doing a lot of stuff behind my back for 2 years, and how I made a promise to myself and God that that would be it, like, that would be the last time that I... I did a lot of things that I did in that relationship, but also what I allowed in that relationship. And I have found that the devil is very, very good at trying to remind me of my past and, like, peek it into my new relationship. He didn't necessarily play a part in it, but he had watched it happen. And I always promised myself that if I saw someone doing to somebody else what was done unto me, that I would not just sit idly by and let it happen. Because I remember thinking that not only my ex was to blame, but that everyone who watched it and didn't warn me, didn't protect me, didn't look out for me, didn't tell him, that they all played a part in it. And when that had happened, I, for the first time, was faced with the truth of that, of like, I don't think I can be involved in this, and I didn't really know what to do. And it genuinely did feel like the devil poking at it. And in my new godly relationship, I was like, how do I go about this? Like, I'm not gonna live, I don't even want a hint of something like that. Like, if you're surrounded by people that do those things to you, like we said, you're unequally yoked with people. Iron sharpens iron. That's kind of what I had to think to myself, like, you know, without saying too much and exposing people's like stuff, that's kind of what it came down to. And the situation was resolved, and I never like folded on my morals and the promises I made. And so I'm grateful for that.
But that's why it's so important for whoever you are with that they're equally yoked, so that when you guys do come across a problem, you go about it a different way. Because worldly relationships, you're gonna have arguments. I mean, you're gonna have arguments no matter what, but the way you go about it from a worldly point of view versus a godly point of view, you're not gonna like attack each other. Versus when you were in the world and your one goal is to get your point across, like, I'm right and you're wrong, and it's you guys versus each other. So, but in like a godly relationship, you guys kind of realize it's you guys against the problem, not you versus one another.
Yeah, which is hard to get to. I still struggle with that, but I think I was blessed with a man who's very understanding and calm. Because when I meet my match, it's crazy.
That's why it's so important also for whoever you're with. When one falls, the other person has to pick you up. And if one falls, you need that other person to be praying for you, to be helping you, to just be guiding you in the right direction so that you can leave your past issues behind and the way you used to go about a problem versus how you would go about it now.
Yeah, just to have someone that when you come to them and you're like, this is happening and this is happening, just to hear, I'm going to pray for you, makes a really big difference, I think, for me personally.
Yeah, and someone who's going to bring God into the problem and, like, talk about God and tell you to look at him and not look at the world when you're faced with whatever it is that you're going through.
And think about it, like, one day, if this is the father or the mother of your children, they're gonna treat your children the same way. And you are starting, you're raising the new generation. So you don't want these curses that maybe your mother or father chose someone like this, so now you act like this, and it goes down and down the line. You want to break that. You want it to stop with you. And that starts with the person you bind yourself to. The two become one flesh. So you don't want, I get so passionate about it. You don't want to become one with someone who's going to take you away from yourself, away from God, and create the same pattern that generations before you created. The pain you feel, why would you want your children to feel that?
Yeah, so it's deeper than just thinking about you as well. When you're thinking about a future with this person, you know, you got to think about all of those things.
Yeah, that's what was a big part of my testimony when I had that dream. And I finally realized the weight of partners sleeping with people and having their kids. And I was just, it was shocking. But when you really sit down, like, think about the person you're with, think about their family, think about your family, think about you. Where does it stop?
Yeah, because if you don't stop it, then your kids are going to have to see that, and then they're going to go through it, and then they are going to have to be faced with the same thing. And that's exactly what the devil does. He tries to keep generational curses, generational traumas in the family so that you guys can't escape it. But Jesus has the ultimate say, and when you realize it and you are like, okay, like, it ends with me, and you put the action to it, God will meet you and he will help you. And the devil has no say. Like,
I agree. Do you have any? Did you think of any worldly?
So for me, when I was still actively in my relationships and was having sex, I just felt so, like, unworthy and just so broken, and I kind of would base my worth off of that. And I felt like I had to do that in order for someone to stay with me and for someone to just be with me. And it was just so awful, because I feel like everything was based around the physical and, like, the body. And I didn't quite understand the importance and why I was feeling the way I was feeling until, like, God, you know, met me where I was at and explained to me the damage that it does, because you're literally combining your soul with this person. And if this person isn't in their faith, then of course it's gonna drag you down.
Yeah.
And it definitely did. And I just felt so gross with myself as well, because I think deep down I definitely knew it was wrong, and but I was kind of just ignoring it. And the relationship was not centered around God at all, and I didn't like that either. And I just felt so lonely, just so broken. And the way we would go about our problems, they would say certain things to me that was just very hurtful. And any conflict that we had was never resolved in a good way, and we didn't communicate very well. And it wasn't until the person that I'm with now, when we, like, were able to come to that realization, and we stopped it. We completely stopped. And so the right person that God will bring into your life is not going to lead you to sin, and he's going to uplift you with God. He's going to, like, kind of elevate you
and your faith.
Exactly. And so, and I realized, you know, if a man is not willing to stay with you for your beliefs, or if you're telling him, hey, I'm not gonna do this anymore, like, you're setting those boundaries, if he is not willing to be okay with that, then that person is not for you. And that's not to say that they won't, you know, change in the future, but it's also not your responsibility as a woman to change him. He's going to have to come to that realization on his own.
Like, you can plant the seed, but God has to water it.
Exactly.
And it's hard to wait around for someone like that.
Really hard. The best thing you can do is literally just work on yourself, because that person's going to bring you down if you stay. And with my relationship now, like, I remember at first when I first came to that realization and I was, you know, willing to leave to put God first, because God will reward you if you are putting him first in all aspects of your life. He really will reward you. And I would just spend time with prayer, and I'm like, Lord, like, what do I do? I'm scared if I tell him this, he's not gonna want to stay, but the right person will be okay with that. And will love you for you. Doing those acts should not determine the love and the foundation of that relationship. And when you stop doing those things, because of course it is wrong, but you're not blinded by lust anymore or the physical aspect of it, you're able to, like, sit with this person and see who they really are without this, like, blinding you and hindering your view sight, because that's the devil's number one goal, to make you have as much sex as you can with anyone outside of marriage. And then once you're married, his goal is to make you not want to do that, because of how powerful and spiritual it is when you're married. But when you're not married, it's the most detrimental and dangerous thing that you can do.
And the world celebrates it. Like, in our culture, it's super normalized to go out and have sex with someone one night and never talk to them again, or have a situation and sleep with each other every weekend, but during the week don't even ask how you're doing. But if you tell someone, oh, I'm in a committed relationship, I'm waiting till marriage, you're crazy. And you just have to be very vigilant of that. You can't, you know.
And people are going to look at you as if you're weird if you're not having sex, and they might even not believe you. But it's like, it should not matter their opinions. Like, you're doing what you know is best and what God is going to bless you for.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. The world is going to hate you and is going to literally steer you away. Mm-hmm. But God will not. And same with movies and TV shows. Every single show or movie has some sort of sex scene, something sexual, and they're pushing that out there to make it normal when it's not, and it's wrong. And like, when a Christian is coming to bring that attention to you, they're not doing that to shame you or to harm you. They're doing it because maybe they've been there and they mm-hmm. felt that brokenness. But yeah, just kind of realizing that, and just know that you should never lower your standards, because God has the perfect person for you. And this goes for man or woman, you know, he will present to you the right woman or the right man, and who will lead you closer to faith, not further away. If they're leading you further away, most likely they're not from God, because the enemy is very deceitful, and he will present the most perfect thing in front of your eyes that may seem very appealing, but it's very detrimental. And being aware of that, that's why it says the heart is very deceitful of all things, and feelings are very, very fleeting, because you can feel a certain way and that'll blind you. Your heart is very deceitful. Like, it's always gonna want something that it can't have, and bringing it to God really helps with that.
Yeah. And it's just important to have a foundation, because the way you feel, like she said, like, it'll change a lot. And if I was going off how I felt when I was 16, now that I'm looking back on it, I definitely don't feel the same way, but those actions still affect me to this day. Like, I carry that with me, and just, it's hard, but like I said, like, when you have that foundation.
We could read the literal basic of what love is.
Yeah.
Because God is love, and if you're with someone who doesn't know God, how can they love you properly? Because God is the literal definition of love, and he will show you how you're supposed to be treated. I've heard so many stories where a girl went out for coffee and she had some kind of conversation with God about, I think he had asked her to go for coffee with him, you know, and so when she went, someone literally bought her coffee, and it was just so sweet. Like, he will literally show you how you're supposed to be treated. And I think at one story I heard, someone literally gave her like a ring. Like, it was just like, yeah, it was something, it was, I can't remember now, but it was so sweet.
And I've seen things like flowers
and, yeah,
and it's just that focus on him and the relationship with God, and your person will follow. Like, in my most obedient seasons is when I was rewarded, like you said. I would not be with the person I was with now if I hadn't known that God wouldn't want me with the person with the person I was with before him.
And he will give you those like red flags and those signs, and any feelings of doubt with someone. Like, if you're feeling like maybe this isn't right, like, that could be God telling you, you know, something's wrong. And
yeah,
he will not let you stay in something that you're not meant to be in. Like, he will bring it to your attention.
And just make sure you're leaning on him, because sometimes those feelings aren't from him. It's just growing in your faith, you'll get that discernment. It's not necessarily something that you're gonna have to do on your own. You're always gonna have guidance through God or godly counsel.
I just want to bring up the like foundational truth of what love is, because God explains it, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, where Paul says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves.
And love never fails is the next verse. And so, yeah.
It's just crazy. You know already that I'm going to highlight verse 6, where it's love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Yeah.
Because truth, to me, is such a foundational part of love. And even before I knew God, I was so heavy on truth. And to know how many times the Bible really just emphasizes that. Like, to me, truth is love, just laying everything out on the table and someone still choosing to be with you, that's love. And if you don't give all of that, it's love, but it's missing, like, that key part of love. And I just think that's crucial. As someone who's, like I said, I've had so many untruthful relationships, and it's always driven me crazy. And to finally know what love is and find someone who also agrees with me on that foundation of truth and love and God, it's a really different experience.
Yeah, and who's reflecting that love onto you.
Yeah, and I just pray that everyone finds something like that. Whether your emphasis, because I know everyone's different, my emphasis on truth isn't going to be your emphasis on patience or kindness, yeah. But I just hope that whatever you really value and what God wants for you is what you choose for yourself as well. Because
mm-hmm.
we do have free will,
yeah.
But it's what you do with that free will that matters.
Because mm-hmm. everything will have those consequences.
Yeah, and it'll lead you.
Yeah. God's never going to hurt you, and he'll never disappoint you. And like we said in our last episode, people will, especially people in the church.
Yeah.
Not everyone is a good representation, I would say, which is why you shouldn't base your representation of God or religion. I don't even like to use the word religion, because it's not about that. It's just about your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because religion is more about like works and what you do, but that's not at all what it is about.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Salvation is found through Jesus alone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of churches, you also have to be careful with where you go, because some of them do not preach the right thing.
Yeah, some churches as well, and people I have found won't take from the Bible. They'll take how they feel. And it's not to say that every thought or feeling you have is wrong, but you just have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think old me, oh gosh, I would probably tell you, well, I love this person, but I'm not patient with them, and I'm not really kind to them. And I have an ex-boyfriend who would tell you that he loved me, but he would lie to me. He wasn't truthful with me.
Mm-hmm.
So in those opinions, back then I was a Christian. He could have probably called himself a Christian, but does it match God's word?
Mm-hmm.
You really need to go through and make sure, because we're people, we make mistakes, but he does not. Amen.
Yeah, amen. I kind of just want to briefly get into a little more about what a godly relationship looks like. And, you know, that's praying together over your meals, over, you know, any conflict that you may have.
Over each other,
for sure. Especially apart as well. Like, it's good to be in community and pray with each other, but also make sure that on your own time you guys are also in the word on your own time and praying to God, you know.
Yeah.
Separate from that as well,
because it's important. I remember, like, back there was a time where me and my partner really wouldn't pray that much, and then now if he's going through something, he'll be like, can you pray for me? Just to get hands on somebody is really important.
Yeah. And even praying over meals, you know, or when you guys are dealing with an argument and you guys are able to step back and just pray together about mm-hmm. the argument, because how can you be mad at each other if you're praying to God?
Yeah,
you
know? And grace will fill your heart.
Yeah.
I've literally felt that happen to me.
Mm-hmm. And it really makes you go about the problem a different way versus how you maybe used to handle a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And like, instead of screaming at each other, which won't get you anywhere, you're able to calmly approach it and bring God into it, versus when you, you know, are screaming at each other and then saying very hurtful things. That's not at all what God would call you to do. And if someone is spewing hateful things at you in a relationship with them, or even not, just being able to see past that and not listen to the hurtful things that they are saying, because it's not them. It's the spirit that may dwell in them. and just being able to just not react in the same way they are with you, mm-hmm. and just gracefully handle it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Obviously, not trying to, like, follow sin. So not fornicating, not lying,
mm-hmm.
not letting your anger get the best of you.
Mm-hmm. Things like that. And actively sinning together. You know, how can God be present in something that you are actively sinning in?
Yeah.
And that could look different for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, biblically, having a husband who, you know, loves you the way Christ loves the church, and then having a wife who submits, you
to
know,
her
to
husband, yeah.
Yeah, and also just, you know, being someone's favor and just what that kind of looks like. And it'll be different for everyone, but it'll have that same foundation.
Yeah. And in my relationship now, I remember in the beginning, like about a year ago when we first were together, it looked so different from what it looks like now, because mm-hmm. we both were not as strong in our faith.
Yeah.
And the way we go about problems now is very different.
Yeah.
How we handle anything is completely different. How he treats me, you know, prays over our meals and prays over me and just us and my family, his family, and mm-hmm. that really changes the relationship.
Yeah, I feel the same with mine. Like, I look at it at the beginning, I always tell my boyfriend I don't even recognize who he used to be. Not in a bad way, but, like, he's just come so far, further than me. Like, so proud of, like, yeah. him and his walk and his faith, and just, like, loving me and, you know, coming out of the world. And just, I don't know, we always talk about how we're kind of in that transition, because obviously we're not married, but we're not single, so you're going somewhere, because mm-hmm. otherwise you're just gonna break up one day,
right.
And we always talk about how we're being pruned and what that looks like, and like becoming the people God wants us to be for each other, and mm-hmm. things we've had to give up with us mm-hmm. on our own, mm-hmm. like people we've both lost, and just mm-hmm. what it looks like, and setting boundaries
and putting your pride aside.
Yes, I struggle with that. But, bro, him and I are so stubborn. Someone told us originally, told him that we are very incompatible because we're both stubborn, and because I used to be someone I'm not anymore in high school. I was not on my best behavior in terms of just a lot of things I did, all these things, and that person was making a comment on who I used to be, not knowing that I was made new in Christ. Thank you. But in a way, it was sort of right. We had, like, ridges, and we didn't really fit right, but I feel like God shaved it off and yeah. made us fit perfect like a puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like a lot of people will say that, oh, well, you used to do this, and you used to be yeah. like this, but you are a new creation with
yes.
Christ.
And I, this is going to sound really bad, but I love who I am now because of what I went through before.
Yes, everything that you have gone through is building you and allowing you to step into the person that God has intended for you to be and yeah. your purpose. Like, if you didn't go through the things that you went through, you wouldn't have the understanding Mm-mm. that you have now. Any pain that you've gone through, you're able to navigate that now and help other people
say, yeah.
with that.
I can help other people. And one important thing for my relationship too is that he knows who I used to be, and that makes him even more proud to be with me now. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's known me for, we're coming up on 6 years now, so he saw me grow up. And I feel like that just adds a level of respect and love that I also have towards him, of who God turned him into, and the way we were pulled apart and then pulled together and everything. It was all worked
yeah.
for his glory. And I just think that's really important. And just, again, that honesty.
Mm-hmm. And just, even your past relationships set you up to be who yeah. you are for him, so that you don't repeat those same mistakes, you don't bring those past things into this new thing that yeah. God has for you guys. And same with him, I'm sure, you know, like, whatever relationships were in the past, like, he's able to also see what he wants, what he doesn't want,
yeah.
what he's gonna work with, how he's gonna handle conflict mm-hmm. and any problems that you guys are gonna have, because every relationship's gonna have problems. You just have to work through
mm-hmm.
them.
I'm
sorry.
Yay.
First feature.
Yay. Guys, this is Freckle. This is my literal baby who appeared out of nowhere. I think someone must have thrown her out because she's the sweetest, sweetest cat who's like a stray cat, but she just doesn't leave home. She stays. She's literally the cutest and the most friendliest thing.
If you're not watching on YouTube, there's a beautiful white and black lady sitting with me right now.
Oh, Freckle. I have 6 cats.
And I have 1, so technically we got 7.
And a puppy.
Yeah. Oh, and Oliver.
Can't forget about our 2 puppies.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
No.
Freckle.
Hi.
This is crucial. I wish you guys could hear her purring.
I know.
Oh, look. Oh, little feature. Okay.
This is actually so cute.
My baby.
Aww. Cats with Christ.
Cats with Christ.
That would have been our original name.
All right, so Freckle's going to pray with us.
Should we, like...
put her hand on. Little Freckle.
She's so sweet.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be in this position to just talk over anyone viewing this and just be there for people and, you know, be their guidance and whatever we can do to help them. I just pray that you would be the center of it and that you would be the center of their lives and that they would be able to just come to you with whatever they're facing right now in relationships, friendships, family dynamics, whatever that may look like for them. I just pray that they would be able to discern the person that you have for them, and if they're in a relationship right now that doesn't reflect you, I just pray that you would reveal that to them and that they would be able to be in your word and just realize what love really looks like and how they're called to love and be loved, and that you are love and that you would just be the center of their relationship and that they would realize that whatever it may look like for them, the person that they're with, if it is not what you have for them, that you would give them the strength to be able to navigate that and just reveal to them and discern to them the spirit that may be behind the person that they are with, and to be able to navigate that with grace and just be able to lean on you in these times.
God, I just pray that you open the hearts and minds and eyes and ears of everybody listening to this, God, and I pray that you just place this in front of anyone who needs it. Like Alyssa said, that if anyone is in a relationship that isn't reflecting you and your love, that you would just reveal them that it's that way, and that, again, like she said, they would have the strength to leave that, God, because we know it's hard. I would just pray that anyone who's living in that bondage, whether it's a past relationship affecting a current one or they're still in a relatively toxic relationship not reflecting your love, that they would just have the strength to turn to you, not even necessarily to leave, but just to turn to you, God, that if it's in your will to turn that relationship into good for your glory, then that you would do that and they would recognize you in that. And if it's in your will for them to leave, God, that they would, again, have the strength to do that. And I just pray that everyone has a blessed week and that they keep seeking you and just praying and in the word, and that this episode that they felt called to watch really just opens their eyes and just allows them to see your love and the plan that you have for them, and just really highlighted the difference between a worldly relationship versus your design of a godly relationship. And I just pray that if it's in your will as well, that everyone would get to experience what that feels like, God, especially those who have been hurt by worldly relationships and think that there's no hope, God. I would just pray that you're with them in their waiting season and that you would just bless them.
Beautiful. We pray this all in your mighty holy name, Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I do want to quickly say, if you are already married to an unbeliever and you're coming to faith or you're in your faith, I just, you know, would ask that you would pray about it and you would pray for them, because when you're married, you know, you are one flesh with that person, and God can do anything to anyone at any point. And I've heard so many stories where people are married to an unbeliever and, like, she's prayed for him, and he ends up coming to faith. And
yeah, well, Paul actually writes about that, where he says that, you know, they can leave you, but you aren't really called to leave them.
Yeah.
Just because of their faith.
Right, yeah. And there is hope, you know, and just lean on God if you are in that situation, because that could be really hard, and especially when you see what they can't. But there's hope, and
he's there, and he's, you know, it just takes one person to plant that seed, and then he can do the rest.
Exactly. Yeah, let him handle it.
Yeah, don't stress yourself out about it. I know it's easier said than done, but just pray and don't carry it, you know. So we're just going to close out today by reading Psalm 23 like we always do. We just hope this encourages you and gives you some comfort.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. I really want to add something so fast, and this is so random to the episode, but I saw a pastor talking about where it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he was like, every time someone's against you, you're angry, but how can he prepare the table before you if you don't even have enemies? Yeah. So just to put that out there.
That is so true.
Right? Yeah. I just thought I should, like, because I'm going to forget by next week.
Same with any, like, type of revenge. God does not call you to take revenge. Yes. He says, vengeance is mine, and he will take care of it. He sees all. He sees what people say about you, to you, and behind your back. Like, he will take care of it. You need only to be still.
Yeah, he's the ultimate judge. If I had anyone to choose to take vengeance and judge what is righteous and not, it would be my God. Would be him. My Father, thank you. Your Father, everyone's Father.
Okay. Amen.
Yeah, well, okay.
All right, well, this was so fun.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us and God.
Yeah. We love you so, so, so much.
Yeah, but Jesus loves you more. See you guys next week.
Yes.
Have a blessed week.
Bye.